Scary, but I'm not that scary. I'm going to be talking more about tornadoes and winds, rains, power, all of that kind of stuff. You know, it's interesting because on Tuesday I was with my son Daniel. We were in the car and was driving him to drop off his car at a mechanic. Then I was going to drive him up to Shoemakersville to actually get Teresa's car, and he was going to take it home that night, and Teresa was going to come home with me, but we heard about these tornado warnings, and we were instructed to go home, not to be on the road. And so on the way back to my home with Daniel, I prayed the same prayer. I spoke the same thing. I said, no tornado, no injury to my family, no damage to our property. You know, and got home to see that the tornado warnings in our area were canceled. But there was a line of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes that went across the Northeast and touched down in many different places. Several tornadoes, devastations. I'm talking about, we know people in New York that were driving in their vehicle and a tree came down, came through the windshield, not a scratch on the woman or her son that was in the vehicle. That's just amazing. You can't control that. Trees come down like that, and there were trees that heavy. I'm talking about big trees. We're not talking about twigs or saplings. Just think about the power that snaps mature trees in half, or even uproots them. That just blows my mind. If you ever try to uproot a shrub or something, it's just like there's no doing it. It doesn't come out. The roots go down. You expend all of your energy trying to uproot something even small. Mature trees being uprooted. Just that's something that the power of God created. We're not even talking about the power of God, but part of the power of God. Just creation and nature that he created. It's power. That's power. And I'm thinking Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Children, that's not just for adults. That's for you too. You shall receive power. The word, the Greek word is dunamis, is where we get our word dynamite or dynamic. We're talking about miracle working power. We're talking about the power of God to do things that no human can do, that can't be explained by any other means. By the power of God has made this happen. So children, I want you to expect and to trust that the power of God to come in your life at this age, whatever age you are, you're not too young. And you can become very mature or grown up in the Holy Spirit, even though you're very young and not that grown up in years, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just think about this for a second. Let's just picture, I don't have props with me, but let's make believe I had this huge barbell here, resting on the ground, hundreds of pounds on each side, and it was here. And I would call up, let's just say I'd call up Timothy, and he'd come up here, and he would try to lift up this barbell. And does anybody think, Timothy, do you think you'd be able to lift up that barbell, that hundreds of pounds on it? No. You can hardly hold 12 pounds. But let's say somehow the strongest man in the world that has lifted more weight than that could somehow come inside of you. Do you think you'd be able to lift it then? Probably, because that person can do it. And the word of God is clear. The Holy Spirit comes not only on us, but inside of us. It's Christ in us. It's the power of God at work in our lives to do the things of God. Not just to be out there doing whatever we want to do, but to be following the Lord and being people of the Holy Spirit that are following God and trusting in Him. And we're about things that God's about. Hallelujah. And so Barry read this scripture earlier from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day or the feast of Pentecost had fully come, this was one of the Jewish feasts, one of the feasts that God gave Israel to celebrate every year. And all of the men had to come and assemble in Jerusalem. They were there to celebrate a feast of God, and it was a feast that it commemorated. It was part of the ingathering of the harvest, but it also commemorated when God, in an all-consuming fire, smoke and fire on Mount Sinai, gave Moses the tablets of the covenant of the law, what we know to be the Ten Commandments. It's the same day. It commemorates that. When the fire of God could be seen, the mountain shook, the people saw and heard the thunder, and they heard the voice of God coming out of the fire. And it thundered. And this feast of Pentecost commemorated that day as well. It was the same time frame in the Hebrew calendar. And they were assembled there, and the word of God said there was maybe it was about 120 believers. That's a number we get in Acts chapter 1. So it's possible that they were a little more, a little less, but we go with the number 120. That's not that many people, but they were waiting on the Lord. They were gathering together continually in prayer for days. Why? Because one of the last things Jesus said to them after he rose from the dead and then just before he ascended into heaven, well, he said, wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we've had baptisms here before. Do you remember we had a big tank of water up there and we pushed the person all the way under the water? That's water baptism. Well, what's Holy Spirit baptism? You see, in baptism, you usually have the person that's doing the baptizing, and you have what someone else is being baptized into, and then you have the baptizee, the person that's being baptized or immersed in whatever it is that they're being baptized in. And so the Word of God tells us that Jesus is the one. John the Baptist came on the scene and he said, he's the one that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So just think, make believe that this altar area is a huge vat of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is here, and he's going to take each one of us, the youngest to the oldest and everyone in between, no matter how much of the Holy Spirit that you've experienced in your life, Jesus is going to take you and he's going to push you all the way under into the Holy Spirit afresh. And you're going to come up, hallelujah, freshly baptized in Holy Spirit power, not only dripping with the Holy Spirit on the outside, but filled to overflowing from the inside. You thirsty for that, children? How about you older children? Are you thirsty for that? In John chapter 7, the Gospel of John says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, which at that time was the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and he addressed all that were assembled in a loud voice. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and from his belly will flow rivers of living water. And by this he meant the Holy Spirit. Think of the Holy Spirit as a river, as a well of God inside of you that just continues to flow, an unending source of the river of the Holy Spirit of God that can bubble up in us continually for the purposes of God, to bring people to Jesus, to heal the sick, to drive out demons, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. Children, young and old, I want you to know something. We're living in a critical point in history. Children, it's no mistake that you're alive right now. You're here because of God's plan and purpose in your life. We're living at a time when you can look around and everything seems to be against the Bible and the Word of God and the things of the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God. The Bible calls that the Antichrist spirits, or the nations and the rulers raging and conspiring against the Lord and against His anointed. And God has each one of us here not only to take a stand against that, but to push it out and usher in the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in us as spirit and fire baptized believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting because Jesus promised, wait for the gift my Father promised. Jesus promised this. Does Jesus lie? Jesus does not lie. He promised it. On that day, Peter stood up and he addressed everybody and he said, this is that which was promised by the prophet Joel, spoken of by the prophet Joel, where God's word says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, or all people. Said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Expect to prophesy. What is that? In its most basic sense, it's to speak forth the word of God in our society and in our generation, whatever the circumstances might be. Just like Teresa and I said, no tornado. Because it's destruction. But there is a tornado of the Holy Spirit that we should say, yes, tornado. Yes, we want the tornado of the Holy Spirit. Let me just explain for a moment what a tornado is. It's a weather type term or meteorological term that actually describes it. It's a funnel cloud that is touching the earth, but also touching the upper atmosphere. It is a cumulonimbus cloud that's touching the earth. And it could be very wide, it could be miles wide, and it could cover miles depending upon the strength and the severity of the storm, and they categorize them from like F0 to F5. And it's interesting that Bonnie was brought forth a word just 2 weeks ago when I was speaking on the finger of God coming down and touching us, touching earth, touching each one of us. You see, a tornado has to be touching the ground in order to be a tornado. And it has to be touching the heavens as well. And there has to be some type of precipitation that's taking place in there as well. It's interesting, Bonnie was talking about that just 2 weeks ago at this altar at the end of the service, speaking about a Category 5 tornado and the movie Twister. And if you see, and the interesting thing is, it came on television that week. I was watching Twister just because of that. And then a few days later, we actually have twisters and tornadoes breaking out across the Northeast where we normally don't get them. Unprecedented things happened on Tuesday. You know what happened on Monday? A historic thing took place. It was the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of the nation of Israel, and also the day that United States of America moved their embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to the capital city of Jerusalem in Israel. It's an historic thing. Prophetic fulfillments are taking place in this hour of history. Children, young and old, you're not here by mistake. We're not here by some coincidence. We're here by God's divine design in ordination to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. See the kingdom of God breaking forth all around. This is about the harvest coming in. Pentecost was about celebrating the harvest. There's a harvest of souls. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. There's a plentiful harvest that God's heart is beating for. In March, we had Dwayne Wrights here from the network speaking about God's heartbeat for the harvest. Jesus died for souls. He came into the world to save sinners. And we're the ones that proclaim the message of his salvation. And if we're not doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be doing it effectively. We'll probably be doing more damage than good. And we've seen that. Seen it in my own life. There's nothing, one of the most powerful things, let me not say there's nothing more powerful, but one of the very powerful things in our own life is our testimony of what God has done in our life. Our testimony of coming to saving faith in Jesus. Whatever age it is, when you come into a fresh reality of God and of being saved, and in a relationship with the Son of the Most High God, it's a powerful thing when you share that with someone. It could be someone your age. It can be your grandfather. It can be somebody's great-grandfather that just needs to hear somebody sharing a real story of how God moved in somebody's life that they might reach out and receive it for themselves. And so the early church was gathered together in what we call the upper room. Praying, waiting. I'm sure they had no inkling, no idea how exactly this gift of the Holy Spirit was going to come, how this baptism in the Holy Spirit was going to look or sound, or what they were going to feel like or do when it happened, or maybe even how are we going to know that this is, that it's it. But they were gathered together in one accord. They were of one heart. They were in unity. They were in one passion for the Lord. And they, it says, they heard what sounded like a mighty rushing wind coming from heaven. Wind has a very loud sound to it. And it's very... It's interesting because you can't see the wind. You can see the effects of what the wind's doing. You can see branches and trees swaying. You can see stuff floating around, flying around, dollars blowing onto your lawn. Hallelujah. Hundreds, large bills. Let me just talk about these checks that came. You see, we sold our home on Locust Street in April. So on April 10th, we were still in Mexico, and this transaction went through, and we got the readout, and we got what, you know, whatever we got went electronically into our bank account, and I've got new hips because of that. Hallelujah. I'm walking around without a cane. Come on! Hey! I just realized it. Hallelujah. Someone prayed that this morning. And so, like a couple of weeks ago, we got a check for 94 cents from the Pennsylvania Housing and Finance Authority. I saw it. I knew it was a check. You opened it up, you know, you're thinking, wow, great, a check came 94 cents. Thinking, I'm not even going to take a trip to the bank or waste a deposit slip on this. Thank God for mobile deposit on the iPhone. Hallelujah. So I wasn't expecting anything else. I mean, that was a surprise. 94 cents is 94 cents. But this week, we got something 1,000 times that we didn't expect. like $940. So, like a little bit more, 1,000 times more than that. We didn't expect it. I didn't even know what it's for. It was some, said bonds. What bonds? I don't know. I don't care. Don't make this tape this, and don't record this in case the Pennsylvania Housing, no, I'm only kidding. You can record this. Maybe it was a mistake. It's in the bank already. Hallelujah. Thank God again for mobile deposit from the iPhone. But it's just, the wind of God just blew it in. They heard what sounded like a violent or a mighty rushing wind coming from heaven. I was talking to Pastor Ray and praying with him on the phone this morning and talking about, because the tornadoes hit hard over there, and he was describing, he was home, then all of a sudden he begins to hear what sounded like a freight train. And he's like, he shut off whatever was on. I think a fan was something. A fan might have been on. He shut that off, and it's like, well, he goes, wow. Then he sees the darkness. Then he's thinking, he's looking outside. Now, this is Pastor Ray is one of the most adventurous people I know. I mean, he's a risk taker. He doesn't run away from calamity. He's usually running toward it. So when all of a sudden he gets the notion, I better go in my basement, you know something major was going down. I said, when he's not on the roof but in the basement, something major is happening. And he's listening and he's hearing this freight train, and it's just the wind that's coming from heaven. But the word of God says, not only did they hear what sounded like a mighty rushing wind, they saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that was coming down out of heaven and touching each one of their heads. And it says, all of them. Timothy, how many? All of them. How many is that? Well, that was 120. But however many are here today, if all of us get filled, then how many? All of us, right? You're going to count? You can give me a count if you want. Go ahead. I put you in charge of giving a count. This way we know. I love it. He wants to be exact. We're not going to blow up the numbers, hallelujah. But all of us will be filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, then they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Not as Charlie enabled them. Not as the Apostle Peter enabled them. Not as Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, enabled them. Not as anyone else gathered there or anything else enabled them. But as the Holy Spirit gave them the power and the enablement to do it, they were all speaking in a heavenly language that none of them had ever learned. How many? About 40. Not exactly sure. Some of us look, I don't know. He's counting me as two, maybe. I don't know. All of us, about 40 of us will be filled with the Holy Spirit. However many are here, all of us freshly filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just for some. It's not just for those that have an outgoing personality, or those that are loud like me, or those that wear a hat like Shayna, or glasses like Barry or Joe. It's for everybody. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, wherever that goes. Even on my mates, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Then it says, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I'll do signs in the heavens above and wonders on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. God promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. That day, as Peter was declaring the fulfillment of this promise from the book of the prophet Joel, he also said, the promise is for you. The promise is for your children. The promise is for those who are far off. The promise is for all those whom the Lord our God will call. So on that day when he's proclaiming this good news to the thousands that were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, they cried out while he was preaching, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. The wind of God, the fire of God, the power of God, Holy Ghost dynamite to lift up the heavy weights of healing the sick and driving out demons. It's not difficult for Jesus. It's not difficult for Jesus. Hallelujah. It's why he said, go and do it. It's why he said, if you have faith in me, you can speak to this mountain. He spoke to that storm. He was heading toward a place where there was this individual, this man that God loved, that was so bound with demons. He was living in the tombs and he was chained up like an animal and he would cut himself with stones. I have no doubt in my mind that this was a demonic storm that brewed up quickly to prevent Jesus from setting that captive free. But Jesus woke up, he stood up in the boat, and he said, "Peace, be still. Shh, I'm going to set a man free." Hallelujah. And he did that day. Thank you, Lord. You're here to set captives free, young people. In your schools, if you go to school, I don't know how wise it is to go to public school these days anymore of what they're teaching. We shouldn't be afraid of it. We should all be led by the Holy Spirit. There were times in the lives of our four sons that Teresa homeschooled them. There were times that we sent some of them or all of them to public school. And was always just saying, "Lord, what do you want?" It wasn't out of fear. We're all like a little bit of yeast that the Lord throws into the large batch of flour that we can affect the whole batch. But what they're teaching these days, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So we need to know the Word. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and ready for anything. I have no idea what that clock is wrong. 11:20. All right, let me finish. I want to read a couple of scriptures here that the Lord highlighted for me. I'm thirsty for regular water, and I'm thirsty for the water of the Spirit. Reading glasses. Hallelujah. You know, I read a prophetic word this week, and part of it had to do with, you know, it was talking about eruptions, and, you know, we have volcanic eruptions taking place in Hawaii. Yeah. Liquid fire is pouring into the ocean as these rumblings, fire and ash being, you know, and this wasn't even just a full eruption. This is just like, and they don't know exactly what's going to happen. But volcanic eruptions and earthquakes, in Yellowstone National Park, the geysers, you know, are, I believe, more active, and they've been more powerful than they have been in years. Tornadoes sweeping across the Northeast. And this prophetic word not only spoke about eruptions and different things that were taking place, it spoke about the Kentucky Derby, and the horse that won it was a horse named Justify. Beat out another horse named Good Magic. That horse actually won the Preakness yesterday, which is the second leg of the Triple Crown. And he spoke some stuff even about last year's Triple Crown winner, but I'm not going to go into that. But the jockey, he's 52 years old, he's a Christian, gives glory to God. He's enjoying some of the greatest success of his jockeying career. I mean, he has been, you know, they say like if horses, you know, that in jockeys they have like a 20% success rate, or even you know, places that train the horses for these races, if they have like a 20% success rate in some of these major ticket horse race, that's like excellent. For the last several years, he's been enjoying like a 40% victory rates in these major races. He became the oldest jockey ever to win the Preakness Stakes yesterday. Hallelujah. So this goes back to the word about those in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, hallelujah, stepping into some unprecedented things, not slowing down, but experiencing the greatest things we've ever experienced in our life. And put it in the record books. Timothy, you're preaching next Sunday, hallelujah. All right, maybe not. There's children's church next Sunday. He's clapping, all right. Well, we'll get you up here sometime. We'll catch up on that. These young people up there doing worship too. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 14, says, "Justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. And the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice, and he saw that there was no one. And he was appalled that there was no one to intervene, so his own arm worked salvation for him." And then I just want to jump down a little bit. That jumped out on me, that justice and that justify, because the word was that the Lord is justifying himself in the face of all this opposition. The Lord is vindicating himself. And how does he do that? By stretching forth his mighty arm, by reaching down with his finger from heaven, by blowing with the mighty wind of his Holy Spirit and sending his holy fire. So it says, "From the west men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun they will revere his glory, for he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord." And then he says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of the children's descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord." Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord on and in each one of us and in our children and in generations to come, should the Lord stay in heaven and not return yet. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 1 for a moment. Children, listen to this. The word of the Lord, chapter 1, verse 4. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Remember, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And he said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. And do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Just as I was talking about trees being uprooted, first there needs to come an uprooting and a tearing down and a destroying. And what was the other word? I know there's four of them. Uproot, tear down, destroy, overthrow. Things that are not of God need to be uprooted and overthrown. And then the things of God need to be built and planted and established. And that's what you're here for, children. That's what we're all here for right now. The kingdom of God being established. Declaring the kingdom of God has come. And don't say I'm just a child. And those of you that are the oldest, and don't say I'm old. I'm ready to hang it up. You know what? You can. The Lord has ways for us to do it. Part of the word that I got just a couple of weeks ago was that which used to be difficult is going to be easy. That which you had to work hard for is going to come without any difficulty. So you know what? We just work smarter by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 1, it says, I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north. An immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant lights. And the center of the fire looked like glowing metal. And in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. Then it goes on to say that their wings spread out upward down here. Each one went straight ahead wherever the spirit would go. They would go without turning as they went. Goes on to say, spread above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out one toward the other, and each one had two wings covering their body. And when the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. And when they stood still, they lowered their wings, and then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. I wish we had, like, pictures of this. Pastor Teresa, could you write a book, with an illustrated book, and hold these pictures up? Think about these creatures with four faces and wings and eyes and wheels within a wheels. But it said, above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. This is Jesus, folks. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal as if full of fire, and that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. We can turn to Revelation 4, and we can read just a brief description of the throne room of Jesus and the flashes of lightning and the rumblings of thunder and the rainbow that surrounds his throne and the living creatures, the angelic beings that surround them and just constantly sing of the glory and the holiness and the greatness of Jesus. And it says, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so is the radiance around them. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. And as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Hallelujah. I believe these tornadoes that hit and these warnings that hit this northeast region this week, just a prophetic sign of the glory of God breaking forth, of the voice of God coming to us afresh, of God lifting us up on our feet and his power being demonstrated in unprecedented ways in our church, in our lives, in our city. This Monday in the mayor's office, I spoke to the mayor about the finger of God, and he received it. Let me tell you something. He received it. When me and Ken left the office, we were like, he received that. Hallelujah. We'll go in again tomorrow. Ken is going to share about something, probably some other transformation thing. This is just a setup, a divine setup of God. Holy Ghost setups. Expect Holy Ghost setups in your life. And just say yes. Just do whatever it is the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Back into Acts chapter 2. they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues, but it wasn't about the speaking in tongues. That's important. I believe there's a very important correlation to praying in the Holy Spirit and more power of the Spirit being generated in our lives. And so, children, if you have not received that heavenly prayer language, expect to receive that today. That you will be speaking by the enablement of the Holy Spirit of God, who is good and holy, that has every good and precious gift. Jesus said, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Will we all ask afresh for the Holy Spirit this day? Hallelujah. And expect to be fulfilled. Man, I want to see us praying for, just going after God, praying for one another, prophesying over us, over one another, prophesying into our children. I believe our children are going to be prophesying this day, but not just here this day in this altar area, but from this day forward in greater and greater dimensions and effectiveness. Barry, I'm going to ask you to come back up. Do you have How Great Thou Art tapped up and queued up? Hallelujah. I want us just to begin to worship the Lord. There's a